Chapter 2. Bryn Mawr's stubby fingers checked the buckles on his dwarven armor and fingered the chain's heavy links one at a time.
1001,
he said to himself.
Dwarven, the finest armor and ale.
His fingers started to fidget through the links again.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Below the mountain, the fog had become so thick he could barely make out the small town. And the darkness didn't help. Still, the small town nestled on the backside of the mountains didn't make much of a sound. Evil was a quiet business. A viper ready to strike in the night. That was what worried him. Nath was down there, and he liked to make noise when he wanted to. The fact that nothing yet burned, nor had any clamor risen, left the tiniest of butterflies in Bryn Mawr's stomach.
It's been 25 years. About time he grew up. 32, 33, 34.
He had to admit Nath's character changes were a little more than surprising. Given his dragonly powers, he'd shown something new. Responsibility. This reborn young man, or dragon, listened, took counsel, made plans rather than just throwing himself right at it. And there was something else. Guilt behind Nath's golden eyes, and his shoulders hung heavy.
130, 131, 132.
Bryn Mawr had been with Nath since he was a boy, always happy, brave, and somewhat unpredictable. Bryn Mawr had guilt of his own. Though Nath was nothing close to a dwarf, he felt like Nath was one of his own, and he felt like he had failed him. Bryn Mawr had reinforced all the rights and wrongs Nath's father had told him. If a dozen times, then 100. And still, they'd almost lost him. He might even yet be lost.
516, 517, huh?
The woodland behind him crackled. Hidden deep in the shadows, he grabbed Warhammer and slowly turned his head. Slow, soft steps came. He sniffed the air. Nothing. His beady eyes squinted in the dark, gazing left and right. He waited. No more footfalls came. Whatever or whoever it was sniffed him out. He thought of the satyrs. He'd shaken them 100 times over the years, and still they came, poking their little heads where they didn't belong, playing music that turned his head inside out. If it was the satyrs, he'd end them right now.
Come out of there!
Bryn Mawr growled. Two dark figures drifted from behind the tall pines. Small, dark, and horned.
Bryn Mawr!
A familiar voice said, coming closer.
You hid quite well for a dwarf, even a venerable one.
Keep your voice down, Pilpin.
The little dwarf looked around.
Why? I suppose no one can hear us,
the other dwarf said, coming forward. It was Gorley, still wearing light gray dwarfen robes and sandals.
Where's Nath?
Bryn Mawr looked down the mountain.
Where do you think?
He slipped out on you, didn't he?
Pilpin said. The tiny dwarf marched forward, with his breastplate stuck out. He slapped the head of his war mace in his hand.
I'll fetch him.
Nay,
Bryn Mawr said.
I gave him my blessing.
Pilpin stopped and turned. Gorley's bushy eyebrows lifted.
You should have waited on me.
I didn't know when you were coming. Besides, we can't keep Nath on a leash. At some point, we have to trust him. Again.
He's come a long way, then,
Gorley said, eyeing Bryn Mawr.
He's further than he's ever been, and he hasn't let us down so far.
So you trust him?
Bryn Mawr shrugged.
I trust him,
Pilpin said.
Nath has never let us down. Not since I've known him. He's a friend, a good one.
Aye.
Bryn Mawr slapped his hand on Pilpin's armored shoulder.
A good one, but I still think we should shuffle closer.
Why's that?
Gorley said.
I think there's a trap down there.
A trap?
Gorley said.
Then why did you let him go?
I told him what I thought. Might as well let him prove me right or prove me wrong.
I question your judgment on this matter,
Gorley said, taking the lead. Pilpin looked at him and looked away. Brenmar felt some guilt, but it wouldn't be the first time he had to bail Nath out. At some point, he had to trust him to do what needed to be done. After all, that's how dwarfs did things. Plan all you want, but sometimes you just have to do. He'd made his decision. Nath had made his own. They were both men and willing to live with them. They made it to the bottom of the hill, cut through the fog, and stopped on the edge of town. All was quiet. Ghostly. The rustle of patrolling soldiers' armor caught his ears.
There should be more soldiers,
Brenmar thought. A dozen. A few more, maybe, and that was it. Other cities this small had three times as many. Silence was shattered. The sound was loud, abrupt. It wasn't a bird that made the sound, either. It was something larger, at ground level.
Should have stayed on the mountain.
Gorley and Pilpin were back alongside him.
What do we do?
Pilpin said. Brenmar nodded his chin and headed back toward the bottom of the mountain. Pilpin followed. But Gorley was gone.
Drat. Now one listens, but not the other.
Pilpin tugged at Brenmar's elbow.
Do I hear what I think I hear?
Pilpin said, pulling the small shield off his shoulders.
Aye,
Brenmar said, readying his warhammer.
It'd be dragon hounds, and more than one of them, I suspect.
So, it's a trap, then?
And a problem. A big one.